He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarc, and this is Car Keys.
And we were sort of talking last show, which we didn't finish the topic on, about General Motors and what they've done to 15,000 or thereabouts workers, and plant closings and demise of sedans. And the show ended before we could complete that. So we're going to start with that, because Jay and I were talking about on the way to the broadcast booth this morning. And the real question is, are the American manufacturers, because all three manufacturers that were manufacturing sedans are slowly phasing out of some very good product, but as I think I've said, and I don't know that Jay agrees with me or not, I think that the American automakers have very short patience spans in terms of what happens when sales gyrate between success in their books and failures in their books, which mainly means numerical numbers, the numbers of sales of vehicles. And, you know, yes, the demographics of car ownership has changed amongst buyers, at least the younger buyers, and they've all been going towards SUVs and vehicles with steroidal suspension systems, which basically mean raised higher than the sedans. And even my sister happens to comment about how hard it is to get out of my Hyundai Sonata versus out of her Honda CR-V, which she slides out horizontally of, and yet she has to lift herself up out of a sedan, which is low slung, as most sedans are, and lower to the ground. And yet I argued with Jay, and didn't argue, I just said to Jay, you know, they're leaving... The American manufacturers are letting go of a very loyal group of buyers of American iron by stopping production of their sedans, because there's a big retirement community from the west to the southeast who I think are mostly still living or buying sedans in one form or another. And they're not as grumpy about getting in and out. They may not know enough to do that, but they're not as grumpy about getting in and out of sedans, and so they're still buying them. But they like the American sedans for the most part. I know of people around here that wouldn't buy anything but American, and they're going to be at a loss of what to buy if all the American sedans vanish from the market in the next 2 or 3 years.
Especially if they talk to if they're fully technological. But my question is, and then Jay will obviously tell you whether he agrees or disagrees. My question is, wasn't it ever thus? Because I can remember three decades ago.
We had the demise of Pontiac. We had GM. We did have a lot of sedans coming out of General Motors, different brands. There was Buick, there was Cadillac, and there still is Cadillac, and still is Buick and Chevrolet. But there was Pontiac. What else was there, Jay? Another one.
I don't know, but I think I've been a little pessimistic when I look at the evolution of what's going on at GM. So to recap, they're closing five plants. Three of them are assembly plants. So they're going to be shutting down a plant in right around Youngstown, Ohio, the plant that manufactures the Cruise and also the Volt which is not an electric car. It's the hybrid car that Chevy has. It's a good car, but it just doesn't sell. So they're closing that plant. They're closing a plant in an assembly plant in Detroit that manufactures sedans, and they're closing one in Ontario, Canada, that does final assembly for trucks and also I forget one of the sedans. But anyway, in the sedans that are going down the tube, you have the Chevy Impala, which is the larger one of the two sedans, which I can't tell a Malibu from an Impala, but that, I guess, is part of the problem.
I think Malibu is disappearing also.
No. Malibu is sticking around for now. They are getting rid of the Chevy LaCrosse, the Buick LaCrosse, which is not going to hurt my feelings. I still don't know where the Buick brand is going or where it's come from.
Right.
I think more perturbing is the fact that they are nixing both the Cadillac XTS, which is kind of a larger than medium, not quite full-size sedan that is a little bit like what the Lincoln Town Car used to be, is like a livery car and a quote-unquote old people's car in Florida. I say this respectfully and in quotes. And they're also getting rid with the really bothersome thing is that they are, GM is getting rid of the Cadillac CT6, which was supposed to be Cadillac's flagship car, sedan, that only came on the market 3 years ago. And that model is just nixed. And so other than the fact that we're closing plants and a bunch of people are out of work and we're moving production to Mexico and elsewhere, you have to wonder what GM is thinking and where the Cadillac brand, for instance, is going. And I'm not sure that it has a future. So there's a bunch of brands that have disappeared within GM and other manufacturers.
So what is the Cadillac equivalent? Just out of curiosity,
because the Lincoln group of Fords, and it used to be the Chrysler group of Fiat Chrysler, but Chrysler basically doesn't brand any of their cars except I think the minivan is a Chrysler brand, the newest minivan, although the Dodge minivan was still in production this year, but I think it's phasing out. So you won't be able to buy a less expensive, slightly older variant of the new Chrysler. What is it called? Can't the minivan. But you're going to be paying Chrysler prices now for essentially a luxurized version of the Dodge van, which you still see as school bus transportation vehicles, delivery vans for businesses. And
we're far from luxury vehicles here.
And far from luxury vehicles.
But I'm still trying to find out what the luxury, like if I want a luxury sedan, what do I have to get? Do I have to go foreign?
If you want a real luxury sedan, yes.
Well, you can still get a Cadillac right now, but the question is, in 2 years, what's going to happen?
I'm just wondering who's doing the thinking.
Lincoln thinks to think they're a luxury brand. Otherwise, you're going foreign, either Asian or European, within 5 years maybe. Depending on whether or not.
But they are not discontinuing their luxury vehicles.
Heck no.
Right.
If you want a real luxury brand.
A proper Maybach.
You can get a proper Maybach. And that'll get me to brands too, because Maybach is back. But it was a brand for a few years that just went down.
Right. But it's just,
and it's a luxury version of a Mercedes. It's above the 450, 550.
But
whatever.
The S-Class Mercedes remains the luxury benchmark of luxury cars. Yes. And you know what? Arguably, it is, I always say, the best car in the world. And when you see the technology in the S-Class Mercedes, it trickles down over the years. It also trickles up. Some niche manufacturers like Rolls-Royce, like Bentley, don't have the... quite. They do now because they've been bought out by other big manufacturers, but they don't have the resources that Mercedes has still. And typically, you will see technology that appears in Class S Mercedes trickle down, but also trickle up, if I can say that, over the years. And you look at adaptive cruise control came out in the S-Class Mercedes circa 2007, and now you find it all the way down Hyundai and Kias and every $20,000, $18,000 car on the market.
Yes, it doesn't seem, though, that Mercedes, and this is just generalist. Okay, it doesn't seem as though Mercedes lost the marketing plot. It doesn't
seem
like
haven't lost the marketing
ever
not
lost
all.
The marketing plot.
They never
not
did.
At all.
And I just wonder why. Again, I'm wondering what happened.
Long-term, good product.
Right. But
excellent product.
They also aren't selling the vehicles that are going out of production in the American manufacturers at numerical levels, which because they're more expensive vehicles and therefore they have a rarefied buying market at some point. But so they're here to stay, and they've always focused on luxury. They've never really been out of luxury, no matter what level of line.
I disagree a little bit, and as we know by now, I grew up in Europe, and I've seen what people were driving in Europe. And when I grew up in the 70s and the 80s in Europe, the Mercedes was an expensive car, but it was expensive because it was top-notch quality. It wasn't necessarily luxurious. In Europe, until recently, you could buy an S-Class Mercedes with roll-down windows and no AC back in the 90s. I mean, that's mind-boggling. So the S-class or the E-class or the C-class or whatever the names were before the letters classes.
It's arguable that there are a number of people.
They were not. They were more than luxury cars. They were basically just good cars.
Well, that's true. But it's arguable that there are Americans that would like to still have roll-down windows in pickup trucks, for example, as opposed to the electric windows, which they've all been moved to.
Really? You think so?
Oh, yeah. I know one person who did his best to buy, and he had to wait longer to get a Toyota Tacoma pickup truck with roll-down windows, but he would still buy them if they were available. I don't think they're available anymore. They might still be, but you're never going to find one on a lot in a dealer.
I have a Subaru that has great power windows on the driver's side. It just pretty much does its own thing. It goes up or down or halfway up.
Whether or not it pushes the button.
When you go to the car wash, you really have to plan ahead because it takes a while before the window closes.
And you have to hope it doesn't go down while he's in the car wash.
And if you add a Labrador to that equation, you just don't have any idea.
That's true. And my sister has a Jack Russell who has not learned that he's actually touching down window switches on the electric windows in her thing, but you have to put the child lock on because he goes back and forth between the right and the left side of the car, and he's learned that if he gets his foot in the right place, the window will go down.
Right.
And it's all right to have it go down halfway,
but you don't
want it to go all the way down because he gets up on the window grill, and who knows what might happen if you went around a corner or braked suddenly.
No, but that's exactly, and forgetting the lock, and many of the panels were put on the driver's side for safety. But it would be nice to have.
You're not going to see the manufacturers.
I understand.
Acknowledge pet use of their windows, errant use of their windows.
Though I will, if you notice, even Lincoln, the number of dogs that are being used pretty much across the board in car adverts is amazing.
And you have the Mercedes one, the Christmas ad with the Mercedes,
right.
True.
AMG, and
right. Yeah. But the Lincoln is like the dog is waiting for the college student who, how did she get a Lincoln, to drive home with her GPS, but never mind.
Subaru has dogs talking and driving cars.
Right, that was Subaru. That's what they did. They branded themselves as the basically pet lover's mobile. Mm-hmm. But you can't even forget, you can't buy, there's no pharmaceutical that's advertised that doesn't have a dog in it, and at this point, I'm pretty sure there aren't any cars that are advertised that don't have a dog in it.
Well, okay. Let's move on. Let's move on to mileage.
Well,
did you have something you wanted to finish with luxury cars?
Well, I'm talking about brands in general, and I keep going on the rants, and we wonder what the American car manufacturers will be doing in the future. And you mentioned the trend towards SUV and crossovers. And yes, I think those cars are those vehicles are the vehicles of the future. I think people don't want to slide down in a car. That's what you do with a sedan. But likewise, it's just as hard getting up in certain big SUVs.
What was the
SUVs.
AMC brand last century? The Hornet? That was a wagon on steroidal suspension.
We weren't all there that far back.
That may be true, but you profess to know everything there is to know about cars back in that century, no matter what age you were and or are. And if you remember, it was a fastback wagon type of vehicle. Now they call them, what do they call them, hatchbacks now. But it was built by AMC in the era of AMC, and it was one of the first ones that was on a higher level suspension system. Yeah. And it was all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, whatever wheel drive was in vogue then. But it was higher off the ground, and it was the predecessor to what we're all talking about right now, these higher suspended vehicles that are easy to get in and out.
Anyone remember when the Suzuki came along?
The Suzuki?
Well, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Those things were fun.
Yes,
they were fun. Tin boxes, as were many of the Asian companies' corporate cars back then. There were tin boxes. You go all the way back to the early Toyotas, the Subarus. Remember the little Subaru, the first wagon that came out?
Yep.
It was about probably 12 inches narrower than the existing one.
Caroline Gooden York had one. It was the first thing.
It was a rust bucket after about 6 years, but it still was a neat little.
Maybe two was better.
But driving that thing down Greenwich Street is like.
Yes, you just shuddered. It wasn't much of a sophisticated suspension system.
I think one of the kids had the original Hyundai Accent or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the original Hyundais were also tin
tin-ish. Sort of think Fred Flintstone.
So we've come a long way in that.
Yeah.
But now we're going to move to mileage, unless Jay has a closing on the last topic. In that the headline in the Automotive News, December 10th edition, says some GM pickups will have lower MPGs, miles per gallon, than the predecessors. This is going against the grain of what the last administration was hoping to do about increasing MPGs of all vehicles. But to the point is, one of the cause effects of this apparent situation is that the pickup trucks are growing in size, at least at the General Motors level. Well, Ford, too, I think. They've all gotten bigger cabs. While they've aluminized in some cases and they're carbon fibering out in some other cases to try to lighten them up, the overall structure of pickups is going up. And the engines are, while the engine sizes are decreasing, there'll be a four-cylinder pickup available for the largest size, the large GM pickups. It's hard to imagine it'll be stronger, but allegedly it is, than some of the six-cylinder variants. And in terms of torque and pulling capability. But I suspect that early miles per gallon testers are going to find that because it takes more power to move these, more oomph to move these heavier pickup trucks, that the four-cylinder, the alleged miles per gallon gains that the four-cylinder is meant to give the pickup are not really going to be real in real life, the way pickups are used. Now, it may be possible to go cruising in a pickup, a four-cylinder engine, because they've got cylinder deactivation, I believe, in some of the pickups with V8 engines already, that a four-cylinder-driven pickup will get 20-plus MPGs on a highway cruise as opposed to 15 to 17 miles per gallon that they do when they're used as pickup trucks remains to be seen. But will the buyer of a pickup truck be cajoled into buying a pickup with a four-cylinder engine? Ford had this issue with the six-cylinder versus the eight-cylinder pickups until users finally found that the six-cylinder engines were actually as strong or stronger than the V8s were in carrying, load-carrying capability.
Well, cutting to the chase here, are the four-cylinders or not?
There are four-cylinders in the mid-size pickups and small-size, but they're not in the big one.
I haven't yet met somebody who cares about the mileage, the fuel mileage.
That is true. I agree with Jay on this.
Let's be clear. If you're buying a pickup truck,
you're not focused on mileage.
No.
You have to see whether you can haul whatever it is or carry whatever it is.
Yeah, it's all about.
But that's what I'm
wondering. Who has the biggest load capability, Dodge or Ford or GM? And they don't talk about miles per gallon. That's for sure.
Well, possibly the marketers aren't connected to the users in that way, because if you need a pickup and it's a utility, then you're going to have a different.
If you're buying a pickup truck to tow anything above 8,000 pounds, you're looking. You're right from the get-go.
You want torque.
You're looking at either a V8
or diesel,
most likely a diesel.
Right.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
So that
if you're not looking
it's
at towing 10,000 pounds, you don't need to buy that pickup truck in the first place. And if you do, it's because you want it and no other reason. As long as people want pickup trucks or can afford them, these three big guys in Detroit are going to keep making them. I think the pickup truck is, I don't know about the future. I mean, I don't think the luxury pickup truck has a great future. I mean, that's my gut feeling.
You don't think the luxury pickup version of them?
Yeah,
or
I think
or
people
the pickup
are buying
in general?
You know, who's buying a $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 pickup?
Plenty of people, because that's why they're building.
But what are the demographics?
Western, well, allegedly Texans and Californians, as far as the area of the country that where you find that they're buying them and they're going out to dinner in their four-door, ultra-high-level, decked-out crew cab pickup trucks. With captain's chairs in front and rear and, you know, top-of-the-line stereo systems blaring forth whatever music they listen to. And there are enough of them buying them that they keep
skeptical.
For now, we do have term limits on
pickup trucks?
On all purchases of all kinds of vehicles. When saturation levels get met in these things, the sales of those particular models are going to go down when there's not a luxury buyer out there, because they're all been sold to everybody who could afford one.
Or the luxury buyer then decides.
And these pickup trucks that are aluminum, well, the bodies are going to last a lot longer, so the pickup trucks are going to last longer the way the cars are lasting longer, as we've been talking about. The average age of a car on the United States roads, I think, is 11 to 12 years old now, because people are holding them that long before they're being
forced.
They're well built, exactly. And the pickup trucks are going the same route.
And not only are they well built, but you have your loans that have gotten longer and longer and longer. So if it's a purchase, it's not an automatic.
That's going to be a given for car pricing into the future, and the prices are only going to go up, I think, in this judgment. And you know we're at 6, 7, 8 year loans now. Can it be long before we're at 8?
You can have a mortgage on your car.
What?
You can have a mortgage on your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the next.
You know what?
A lot of people do.
Truck of the year. We're running out of time. Our truck of the year. We'll go back to you too in a second. Has been declared by Motor Trend Magazine to be the Jeep Wrangler for those Jeep aficionados listening to this show, if there are any.
And, well, there's one right here.
Yeah. Well.
And so, have you ordered yours?
No, because I don't want a Wrangler.
Why not?
Scrambler or the Gladiator, as this new pickup bedded Jeep is going to be, is probably included in what was part of the cause of the Jeep getting this honor. Whether it'll turn into lots of sales for this particular line of vehicles, Jay told me on the way in, he thinks Jeep may well be limited in their success rate. He didn't give me any reason, but he thinks that maybe
long
they're
term. I don't long think they're term, thinking long term either.
No, he doesn't think they have a long term.
They're diluting the brand. It gets back to brand and marketing and product line, and the mainstream Grand Cherokee still doesn't have a replacement, and it's riding on a 10 or 15 year old Mercedes architecture, and
yes,
we're still waiting for the next one.
I will tell you that the ride in the latest ones is entirely, in my opinion, acceptable.
I know. I drove cross country
versus the old ones, and you don't disagree with that.
I don't, but that doesn't mean it doesn't need a replacement at some point.
Well, they'll upgrade it, I believe. How they can upgrade it better than it is, maybe you can design it for them. But the fact of the matter
is, 10-year-old Mercedes
one thing about a Jeep is that they have a dealer body that's at least three times or more prevalent around, numerically greater than all the European SUV luxury brands like Range Rover, Mercedes, Audis, and that kind of thing. And when you go into Middle America and some places in the West, there are almost no Audi dealers within several hundred miles of your car that you may be driving in the middle of a national park. And if it breaks down, God help you if you have to get towed. And where do you get it towed to get it fixed? I experienced that last century, and it was an amazing situation to find that I was 250 miles away from the nearest Audi dealer when I needed to be towed for an engine malfunction that occurred. And it's not fun. Jay, you want to say something?
About the Gladiator?
No. Well, yeah, anything you want to say. We have a minute.
Well, you were talking about the Jeep Gladiator. It is the Gladiator, right?
It's now the Gladiator, yes.
I don't know much about it. Yes, I have read great things about it. We know it comes with various engines and all these possibilities with the bed. And it's great to go surfing.
There's one local buyer here that's waiting for the diesel version, and he's discouraged that he has to wait for the diesel version of the Gladiator into 2019 or 2020, and he wants a stick shift. But I don't know how many of those guys are going to buy Jeep Gladiators as a pickup truck alternative to the big three.
Not many.
Nope.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is, as ever, Car Keys.